Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
I'ma tell you what you need to know. I'ma tell you what you need to hear.
What you need to know is Turin Petro is off today and tomorrow. Yeah, and he was, I don't know if he was upset or what. I mean, this Patrick Mahomes news came out about 1:55, and my phone rang, and it was Petro. And he's like, you think I should do the show? I'm like, dude, don't worry about it. You're off. It's okay. And I said, if you want to call in later, we'll do something. He said, no. All right, so we'll do this. Do me a favor. Don't listen, because I don't want to mess anything up. Anyway, so Mahomes gets this deal signed today. We have some details from Adam Schefter about the amount. We had Adam Schefter on the show earlier in the day. You can hear that on the podcast from hour two of the program here. And now the Chiefs have officially tweeted out that they've signed the quarterback, and they've got a picture up of Brett Veach and Patrick Mahomes standing. And now they've got some quotes as well, Curtis.
Here's the official statement from Clark Hunt. This is a significant moment for our franchise and for the Chiefs kingdom. Since he joined the Chiefs just a few years ago, Patrick has developed into one of the most prolific athletes in all sports. With his dynamic play and infectious personality, he is one of the most recognized and beloved figures to put on a Chiefs uniform. He's an extraordinary leader and credit to the KC community, and I'm delighted that he will be a member of the Chiefs for many years to come. Brett Veach says, getting this deal done has been a priority for us for quite a while now. I'd like to thank Chris Cabot and Lee Steinberg for the efforts and patience, along with Brant Tillis and Chris Shea of my staff. Also, I recognize Clark Hunt, Mark Donovan, and Coach Andy Reid, who have been incredibly supportive while we've worked through the details. I've said from the beginning that Patrick is one of the most impressive players I've ever scouted, but I don't think anyone could have envisioned everything he's brought to our football team and community. His abilities are so rare, and to couple that with an incredible personality is outstanding. We're going to continue to do everything we can to surround him with talent, and this deal provides us more flexibility to do that. He's obviously an integral part of our success, and we're thrilled he's going to be the quarterback of the Chiefs for a long time. And finally, Andy Reid, quote, I've had the privilege of coaching a lot of incredible athletes and special people in my career, and Patrick is without question on that list of players. The best part is he's still early in his career. He's a natural leader and always grinding, whether that's on the field, in the weight room, or watching film. He wants to be the best. He's a competitor, and his teammates feed off his energy. He makes us all better as an organization. We're blessed he's going to be our quarterback for years to come.
And as I told you, we had Adam Schefter on a couple hours ago. Here's the update on the compensation. 10-year extension. Remember, this is an extension. They still have him for 2 years, so this is 10 years onto that. So it's 12 more football seasons. Is worth $450 million, sources tell ESPN. The injury guarantee is $140 million. The contract does not contain language that ties it to the value or percentage of the salary cap. It's the richest deal in sports history for a player. Now, you've bought franchises for more than that, maybe, but think about this. It wasn't that long ago that, you know, you could buy a franchise. Think about what the Royals sold for to David Glass, under $100 million. Now, you can't buy, they just sold for almost $1 billion last time around. But this is some crazy, crazy money that Mahomes is going to get here. And even if he gets hurt, I mean, there's plenty of guaranteed money there. But it's not all guaranteed. So while this is the richest deal in sports history, it's not the richest guaranteed deal in sports history. Those belong to Major League Baseball players, because that's
right.
That's how it goes for Major League Baseball players. Speaking of Major League Baseball, they're revealing the schedule, which they hope will happen, right now on MLB TV, and the Royals are set to open on the 24th in Cleveland. So they will be on the road to start their series, or their season, I guess, as it were. So it's we'll give you some more details of that as we go along here. And Alec Lewis from The Athletic, who has, well, he spent 90 minutes a day at the K over the past 4 or 5 days, and he spent more time than that sitting talking on Zooms to people. But we'll talk to Alec about what's happening out there at the K and kind of where things are heading with the Royals at this point, because we're seeing good and bad things all around, Curtis, with with what's going on in the world of sports. There's FC Dallas is now out of MLS, back tournament. Sporting KC are down there, testing perfect, no issues, they're all good. FC Dallas, not so good, so they're just out. We saw this happen with the NWSL tournament. The Orlando team had to beg out of it. Funny that they were coming from Orlando. Now people go to Orlando and getting in trouble. I don't know.
Ian Rappaport has some numbers on Patrick Mahomes' contract. I had to make sure I had the right. It is the blue check. It's actually Rap Sheet. Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes have agreed on to terms of a 10-year extension worth $503 million, sources tell him and Tom Pelissero. He gets $477 million in guarantee mechanisms and gives the ability for Mahomes to have outs if the guarantee mechanisms aren't exercised. It also includes a no-trade clause. And as Rappaport then goes on to say, citing his own tweet, says, it's the first $500 million player in sports history and the largest contract in sports history. Also the first time an NFL player has been the highest paid player in sports history.
So guarantee mechanisms. I don't know exactly what that means.
I'm not entirely certain either. $477 million in guarantee mechanisms and gives the ability for Mahomes to have outs if the guarantee mechanisms aren't exercised.
This is not a standard player contract.
As you would think it would not.
You remember the old standard player contracts? You just filled in the name of the guy, and then you filled in the amount of the money, and then the next year in baseball, you signed the same one over, and they just filled in the thing. There was no multi-year, no free agency, had the reserve clause in there. This is not a standard player contract. This is a different deal entirely for Patrick Mahomes. This is an amazing day for him, for the city. And let's hope this. I'm sure there's some – this is our first big deal post-COVID, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll bet there is language in this thing that has to do with pandemics. There's probably pandemic insurance. There are things in there. That's maybe what some of this guaranteed language, these mechanisms are. I bet there's some stuff in there about things like that because this is not something that was in any player contracts before. You know, it just wasn't something that leagues thought about. We had not had a sport not happen because of something like this. So this is a different deal entirely. So I'll bet this took some doing to get this all done, and they got this thing written up in the — we're not in post-COVID times, we're in COVID times, but the money will be earned indoor post-COVID times. So
it'll be an historic contract in more ways than just one.
Yeah, I'll bet there's some language in there about different things that have never been in contracts before.
Yeah.
For stuff like that. It just kind of has to be. Because that's just kind of where we are right now. So that it's great stuff, and I know the Chiefs Kingdom is happy. And this is – I've always said this. I've been doing this for coming up on 22 years at this radio – well, at this radio company, because Sports Radio 810 didn't exist until 1999. But one of the things I always loved about having listeners, callers at the time back then, perhaps a faxer – things mm-hmm. like this, mm-hmm. they when they saw something somewhere, they would give us a call. Hey, I saw this happen or this happen. And now we get those things happening on Twitter sometimes, but we always have to check who's this person.
Yes.
Is it fake? Is it real?
That
blah, blah.
Is the way Twitter has
there's
changed
been
things.
Fake Ian Rappaport's and John Heyman's and Adam Schefter's all over the world. But earlier today, I got this sent to me at, I don't know, 12:15 or something on one of my text strings. And there's a lady who works at Plaza Liquors or whatever, and she tweeted out that a Chiefs front office executive worker had been in there and was buying 6 bottles of champagne, and it was for a big signing, but it was not Chris Jones. And her name is Katie, and she said, maybe it sounds like it's Mahomes, right? And she had later deleted it because she was getting, I don't want to, whatever. But it was out there.
On the news tonight.
And then Tim Grunhard, well before Adam Schefter, tweeted out, it's a day to celebrate Patrick Mahomes, da-da-da. And Schefter tweets this thing out. So then this Katie Camlin tweeted, holy S, I beat Schefter, ha ha ha. So that's the eyes and the ears in the streets that I love about what we do.
Yes.
That's the fun stuff. Unfortunately, there's a lot of garbage out there on emails, texts, and Twitters. But that reminds me so very much of phone calls that we used to get that said, hey, I heard this about whatever. Mm-hmm. And you just follow up on it, and there you go. And you got a little story. So congratulations. Not only for having fun and breaking some Patrick Mahomes stuff, but for selling the expensive stuff. I don't know who's been buying Dom Perignon lately. That's got to be a big
sale.
What's
that, 150 a bottle?
Move that stuff off the shelves, man. It's not a couple of bottle of hams.
I'm guessing they didn't use like Andre, you know,
yeah, the Andre
cold duck or brute. Something. That's probably the good stuff.
Yeah, that's the good stuff. So anyway,
Moët Chandon.
Neat deal the way that story went down. Patrick Mahomes, $500 million. Let's just call it $500 million contract. Whatever. It's lots. What you need to know is think about where you were 10 years ago. Oh, you got to think, where were you 12 years ago? And think about where you'll be 12 years from now. Because 12 years ago is how far away ago that was from where this contract ends. We have never had a contract in this town go like that. And we had some quote-unquote lifetime contracts for George Brett and Quisenberry, right?
Mm-hmm. And it was, I thought it was three players. Was it Frank? Was it?
It might have been Frank.
Willie Wilson, maybe?
There was some.
Avron Fogelman days, wasn't it?
And, you know, those deals were with a guy whose finances weren't as good as they thought, and they changed over the times. And
nothing like this.
So not one like where they said, here's the deal. This is going to go this long.
I can't wait till, because the details are going to be out there eventually. I cannot wait to pore over. That's going to be some of the more entertaining reading. Whatever else happens that day, the details of this contract are going to be top shelf.
Yeah, pretty amazing stuff. Okay, let's take you around a little more need to know before we have to take a break and talk to Alec Lewis. I want to play a couple of things for you. We've seen a lot of players opting out of Major League Baseball, okay? And I'm not telling anyone they should or shouldn't do anything, okay? But the Royals don't have anyone opting out at this point. They haven't had anyone opt out. And I was yesterday on the Zoom with Whit Merrifield, and he got to ask a question, then he just talked for a while about why he's playing, and he didn't say anything bad about anyone else. But here's Whit Merrifield kind of talking about his love of the baseball and his teammates.
I've seen what a lot of guys have said, and I respect how they feel, and I'm in a different situation than a lot of guys, and guys are in different situations than me. But my feeling on the whole thing is, I'm saying this coming from my wife that has a compromised immune system. And there was never a hesitation from her or me about playing this year, because she's been with me since high school. She understands what it takes to get to this level. She understands this level is a short window of time. And she also understands that just like I have an obligation to her to be the best husband I can be, to my siblings to be the best brother I can be, and to my parents to be the best son I can be, I have an obligation to those guys in there, because those guys are my family as well, to show up and to perform. And if I'm not there, I'm putting those guys in jeopardy this year. If they're not there, they're putting us in jeopardy as far as a team goes. So those guys are my family, just like my family at home is my family. And for us, for guys, at least in this clubhouse, to consider not showing up, I don't think was ever an option, just because we understand where we're at as a team. And we're not going to let the virus dictate what we've done and how we've gotten, how long it's taken us to get to this point. We're going to keep living our lives and combat it the best we can. And whatever happens, happens. But I'm not going to let this affect how I go about my day-to-day. Sorry for going on a little rant.
It wasn't really a rant. You don't need to apologize for that. But I think what you'll see when you see some players opting out, generally, they've already made a whole lot of money. And maybe they calculate in their head, it's not worth it. I mean, it's like a funny, weird 60-game thing. I was supposed to make $30 million this year. I'm only going to get $7 million this year. It's not worth my time. And whatever's happening in their family or home or whatever.
Yeah.
Whit Merrifield got drafted in the 10th round and, you know, wallowed in the minors for years and finally got his chance and then got rewarded with the deal they had. They didn't have to give him. They didn't have to give him that deal when they did. It was good for the club. It was good for him. And he's like, I'm playing baseball, man. I don't have a $280 million contract. I don't know if I'm going to get to play this game forever. I'm not a kid. It took him forever to get to the league. So I think he is coming at this from a different perspective than a lot of people. But But I love his attitude, and I love what he says about this team. That being said, I don't think they're going to win anything in 60 games, but they're together, right, and that's something.
The statement he said, it's not, maybe paraphrasing here, you know, the baseball team's my family just like my brother family, my real family. No, they're not. Your real family is different. But the relationship and playing certainly does impact the other family. So I see the linkage there. But by the way, Lee Steinberg, Steinberg Sports, has now tweeted out, and it's essentially verbatim of what the Ian Rappaport tweet was. 503 years, that'd be a record. 10 years
for just $500, as we established last time.
10 years, $503,477 million in guarantee mechanisms, and the ability to have outs if guarantee mechanisms aren't exercised in a no trade clause. So that's coming from Steinberg Sports. That's about as official as you can get on those numbers.
Yeah. So the Royals' schedule is starting to filter out, as we said. They will be playing in Cleveland to start. Now, this morning on the Zoom, Mike Matheny had already seen the schedule. He wouldn't tell us what it was, but he said he looked at the schedule, and it's going to be a different feel.
You know what it showed me is how fast this is going to go. I mean, you start breaking it up into road trips and homestands, and, man, it's just a couple short ones, and, like, wow, where did that go? And I don't think we can overstate the urgency, but I think when you see it into baseball terms, which it's always serious for us, you see that, it's not going to take too long till this thing's really in the rhythm. So once again, I think that plays into our hand as you look at how prepared our guys are, how excited they are. You also have a whole lot of this unknown, right? We've got all these inner squads that we hope are going to prepare us to have us ready, but they're ready to compete. Right now, we're going to try and keep it fresh, as fresh as we can, to where you're playing against your teammates.
Yeah, so the Royals will have some inner squads and some stuff like that out there at the K, and we will check in next with someone who's been out there, Alec Lewis from The Athletic.
One note on that, I haven't seen the actual schedule, but it does say here that the Royals have their schedule through August 6th, so from July 24th to August 6th, as the fourth lowest opponent's win percentage, so they've decent
Must
chance
be playing
to open
some
up well.
Tigers in
but
there,
you also realize that some of the other teams are going to have a low number because
they're playing the Royals.
Because they lost over 100 games last year, so those... Take that for what you think it's worth.
The Royals are the team on the schedule. We could beat those guys. And you go, oh, wait a second. They're looking at us thinking the exact same thing.
If you don't realize you're the mark, then.
The program with Soren Petro.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. As a boy growing up in Alabama, he dreamed of going to school at Missouri. Really?
What? I'll be deep in the cold, cold ground before I recognize Missouri.
Okay. Now he covers the Royals. He's Alec Lewis of The Athletic on the program.
But first, the Jazz into the hour answer. On this date in 1933, Babe Ruth hit the first All-Star Game home run. What Hall of Famer hit the next two? Frankie Frisch of the St. Louis Cardinals.
Alec Lewis knew that. I promise you that much.
I think so.
100%. Of course I knew that, Todd.
You know all the Frankie Frisch trivia.
I mean, I thought you guys brought me on to talk Mahomes' deal, and now we're talking Frankie Frisch. I mean, what's the plan here?
Well, we're talking to everyone about Mahomes because it's huge. What'd you think about these numbers? And now we're seeing $500 million, $477 million, and something called guaranteed mechanisms.
Guarantee mechanisms.
This is it's a watershed for an NFL team. I think we see deals like this in baseball probably too often for players who are too old, but this is a earth-shattering kind of deal, isn't it?
Yeah, guaranteed mechanism. They pay me for words. I don't really know. I have no idea what that means, to be honest. But no, I mean, yeah, it's unbelievable. And you mentioned the baseball contracts, and you see these types of things in the sport that I cover all the time. But rarely, I feel like, do you feel as like good and confident about a deal as everyone around probably the world does about this one.
Yeah, it's a different deal altogether. Generally, in baseball, the guy has already played for 7 years or whatever it is, and he gets the deal. Maybe it's even the next time through. And you're like, why do you give a 31-year-old a 10-year deal? That doesn't seem smart. Miguel Cabrera still is going to make $30 million in 2 years, right? Or something like that. Albert
Pujols, 100%.
Too. Yeah. Weird stuff. All right, Alec, let's talk a little baseball here. The schedule is coming out as we speak. The Royals will open in Cleveland, assuming all these. I'm always. There's an asterisk you can't hear on the radio. The Royals are scheduled.
Instead of if necessary, it's if possible.
If possible, the Royals are going to play in Cleveland, hitting the road there. Just what are your thoughts about that, hitting the road to start this thing? There's not going to be fans anywhere. Are you going to be traveling or no?
It's a good question. I have not ironed it all out yet. I'm not sure if I assume after the schedule is full and out, I'll speak with editors and we'll figure it out. I mean, Cleveland's interesting. It's a divisional opponent. I expected the White Sox because, like, every year since I've been alive, the Royals start with the White Sox, it feels like. So to see the Indians was interesting. It's a unique club. They obviously have a ton of young pitching and Francisco Lindor, and it'll be – a test for the Royals to start, and obviously you want to start hot in this 60-game sprint if it happens, as you mentioned. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what that looks like. I don't think home field advantage, not starting at home, I don't think it's that big of a deal without fans. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
One of the things that Mike Matheny said on the Zoom this morning was he had seen the schedule, and he's like, man, when you look at it, it really is a short schedule, you know. A couple of road trips and a couple of home stands and a couple of road trips, boom. I mean, you're like almost done. This is going to be a very different experience for all these guys.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I was thinking even like in terms of the training camp, I mean, they've been going for a few days now, and I'm sure we'll get into what it's looked like, but it's like 17 days from now, they're going to be in Cleveland. So I assume the day before or 2 days, they're going to have to make their way there. I mean, you're talking like 2 weeks and they're on the field testing and virus permitting. So yeah, it's going to be quick. As Matheny said, obviously, as he knows, having been in the slog every year for a lot of his life, I mean, just going to be a wild adjustment and situation for a lot of the guys, players included.
Well, this has been the weirdest year for any of these guys professionally. I mean, we saw you down there at camp. They were down there. They had the full early camp, and, you know, the thing just kind of got pulled out from under them during the middle of all that. And then, gosh, some of them stayed there, didn't know where to go. Some of them went home. Some of them came to Kansas City. I mean, it was, you know, Brad Keller and Nicky Lopez sneaking into the surprise complex because they knew the code. Not sneaking. They were allowed to go do it, but they couldn't go inside. I mean, this has been a weird deal. It's unprecedented as well, but it's just been so odd for these guys. And I don't think any of them, I remember one of those days we were on one of the Zooms with Keller. He was just like, I don't know what to do. He gets told what to do his whole life. And then they didn't know what to do when they were gone. I can't imagine what it's been like for them.
Yeah. I can't get out of my head Salvador Perez's past. Like, he obviously finds out he's injured in spring training of 2019, right? So then he goes and he has surgery, and then he misses the whole season, which for him, as everybody in Kansas City knows, is the worst deal ever, right? And so then he obviously goes through the tenuous rehab. He makes it back. He's back in spring training, optimism surrounding new manager, new owner, and everything. And then it gets shut down, so it's like, okay. And then he's called back and he's excited. He's in good shape. He's going to perform. Then he tests positive, asymptomatic. And it's like, I mean, the roller coaster ride that, I mean, around the country this has been, it's been a roller coaster. But for a guy like that who has had so many years of his life so regimented, I just can't imagine. I can't stop thinking about how wild of a ride that would truly be.
We're talking to Alec Lewis of The Athletic about the Royals. Covers them on a daily basis. Well, you didn't get to for a long time, and now you are. But the covering him is a little bit weird, too, because we get up and we get on a Zoom call, right? And you talk to the manager, and then you've been going out there to these 90-minute, 60-minute kind of parts where you can be in the Diamond Club level and just watch what's happening out there, right? What has the experience been like for you in the media entering the stadium and kind of what's it like to watch those things and then to ring a bell and you have to leave? How's it working?
It's truly unique, and I don't use that word. I think like a professor once told me, just like never use the word unique, because it just unique is literally unique. But nothing about this feels normal. I mean, it is. It's been exciting for me, as you mentioned, to be able to get out of my apartment and go watch things. But I mean, you get out there, you carry your mask with you, you put it on, they scan a temperature check on your forehead, and you hear it's 96 degrees. You wonder why you're 2 degrees lower than what you're supposed to be, and if you're okay, and they let you in. And then you watch just normal players hitting and pitching, and then no, there's no bell. It's like, all right, time's up, you leave. It is truly unique. I've really been struck, though, honestly, Todd, by how focused it seems like the guys on the field are. I mean, like, I today was sitting a little bit behind the first base dugout, and they're taking batting practice, and I was just watching a conversation among young prospect Nick Prado and hitting coach Terry Bradshaw, and I mean, it was like one of those conversations you would see on a backfield in Surprise in spring training. It's just wild. Terry Bradshaw's wearing a mask, but this conversation was as normal as you can imagine among hitter and coach. It's just, it's so fascinating. And really, that's what struck me most probably. It's just how focused, once the guys are on the field, how focused they do seem to be, actually.
And, you know, you've been down at spring training. It is different that those are those conversations that most people would never see. Now, a lot of these fans have gone down to spring training, but they generally go when the games are happening. You know, there's all these fields at Surprise at the complex where, you know, way on some backfield there's a simulated game, and then there's, you know, some young guys out playing another field, and there's some live VP somewhere else. They got one baseball field here. I guess they haven't utilized the little K, have they? There's no one out there doing anything at the little K, but they got
So yesterday they were doing PFPs, which is pitcher fielding practice.
One of my favorite things is to watch PFP. We love PFP.
Yeah. So PFPs yesterday, half of the group, because they want a social distance, half of the group walked up, and they were, it looked like they were like leaving the park and their moms were coming to pick them up. They all have their bags and they're going up to Little K to do the PFPs. It's honestly one of the most fascinating things. I don't know if you've been out there, but they also, the right field bullpen is like a batting cage. So like you'll hear like the BP on Kaufman, and then all of a sudden you'll hear a flare connect with a baseball from the right side of your head. It's like, oh wait, he's in the bullpen out there taking it is truly fascinating. I keep coming back to that conversation I saw, because we talked a lot about like development during this time, and it's a big year for the Royals for development purposes. And I think about the prospect talking to the Royals big league hitting coach just on the field, which is a conversation that wouldn't happen if this circumstance weren't the circumstance. So I think it's like, often people are so pessimistic that the Royals aren't going to be able to develop, and how are they going to develop, and what are these young prospects going to – I mean, here you have a young prospect having a conversation with a big league hitting coach. It just struck me. I keep coming back to it.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff. Now, you obviously haven't been able to go down to the clubhouse, because you're a Tier 3 individual, so you're not going down to the clubhouse. Have you heard how they got all 60 people in there? Are they using the visiting clubhouse for part of their locker room, I guess, for the guys, since there's so many of them?
Yeah, they cycle them in and out, so you'll see some guys like walk over to the visiting clubhouse and come out of the visiting clubhouse, and they really have it regimented to where there are groups of about four or five, and they'll either be in the dugout waiting to hit, or they'll be on the field hitting, or they'll be on the field taking infield practice, or in the outfield spread out. I mean, truthfully, the Royals do have it very spread out and regimented, and then, as you mentioned, I'm a Tier 3 individual in life and in baseball, but the Tier 1s who can be on the field, and the Tier 2s, they're wearing masks. A lot of the players today were wearing masks during workouts, which is, I just can't imagine. It's so hot out there. But yeah, it's they have opened up both clubhouses. They're utilizing about as much space in those acres of land as they can use.
Alec Lewis from The Athletic is our guest. And, Alec, there's been some teams who didn't practice today because they didn't get their testing stuff back. And I don't know what you thought, but when I remember during the weekend, I can't remember which Zoom it was, when we were talking about testing, and I guess they ship all 3,200 of these tests to Salt Lake City to get done. Did you think this was the way this was going to go? And I'm not surprised that there were going to be some sort of issue if they sent every one of these off to a state that's far away from all of the places.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at all, to be honest. I mean, I've kind of likened this thing to, like, blackjack, okay? Like, you, as much of this is organized and constructed, I mean, truthfully, it's just so – it's so affected by everything else. It's really – as much as you try to do yourself, and really it matters what kind of cards you get, what are the cards the players in front of you are getting. I mean, it's just – it's so – you can do everything right, but what happens on the outside is probably going to dictate how the thing goes. And so, yeah, when you see that tests have to be shipped off and it's thousands of them and they're going to Utah during a holiday weekend, it seems obvious that there were going to be opportunities for things to go awry. And obviously, as you mentioned, I know the Nationals didn't practice today. I don't believe the St. Louis Cardinals practiced today. And that's tough too. I mean, if you're trying to get players ready for a season, from a physical standpoint, it's hard to not work out. And then also just mentally, if you're a player on those clubs and after you've returned, you've flown, your family's flown, and now you're being told that you're not going to be able to work out, you're probably second guessing the whole thing. So, really tough, but no, it's not surprising because it's just there's so much uncertainty and there's so much that has to work and everything's kind of being done on the fly. So I think it's something though that Major League Baseball has to fix, and they put out a statement that kind of echoed that, but they have to fix it if they really think this thing's going to happen.
Yeah, and you know, with the other side of it that we've talked a bunch about, this is, whether it's for professional sports, college sports, or just living your life, the most important part about all of this stuff is what you do as an individual when you're at work, or more importantly, in this baseball case, away from work. What they say at the K, we've heard Mike Matheny say this several times, and we've heard players say this as well, is they're taking this very seriously here, and that guys aren't going to, you know, try to make mistakes where you can end up getting a positive test somewhere else, whether or not they get the test sent in or not sent in. The Royals seem to be taking this very seriously. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I definitely feel like they've taken it seriously. They understand the process. They understand that there might be hiccups in this process. I mean, once Salvador Perez on the Zoom call announced that he had tested positive and was asymptomatic, Dayton Moore came on, the Royals general manager, and was very just kind of open about how if he needed to communicate with Major League Baseball personnel about this process, he could do that, and that, yes, there were going to be things that popped up that were going to make things challenging. So I think ultimately the mindset they've taken is exactly what you would hope for. And as you mentioned, I mean, it's on the individual, and I think the Royals understand that, and I think a lot of the players are in circumstance where they don't maybe feel like they want to go out or want to be away. I think a lot of them have families, which is a benefit, but as you look at it kind of broadly, as well as the Royals might take it, one club taking it wrong or doing things kind of out of what they should be could affect everyone else. And I think that's why it's just on such thin ice, because it just one action from one individual could kind of derail the whole thing, which is it's truly wild when I say that out loud and hear myself say it.
Yeah, FC Dallas, I guess, is not going to be able to participate in the MLS's back tournament that was announced this afternoon. So, you know, you have to have an opponent. That's the way sports works, right? You know, you can be there and do everything, but you have to have someone to play against. So we'll see if this whole thing works out. Before we get to the Final Four, anything, I mean, it's baseball practice, and it's weird baseball practice too, and they're going to have, you know, the roster is going to be 30 people and not, you know, 25 or 6 at the beginning. Do you expect any surprises in this first roster when they get it done, when they have it expanded a little bit? I don't get the feeling any of these young pitchers are going to be on this thing, but is there any chance one of those guys could make this?
Yeah, I would say the question probably people will have. I mean, like, will Brady Singer be on this 30-man, or will Jackson Coar? I truthfully speculating, but just thinking, just from intel and watching, I don't think Brady Singer is going to break camp with the team. Will he get an opportunity at some point? I think so. I think it's possible and maybe even likely. I'll say in terms of surprises, like a guy that I know a lot of Royals fans really like, and he's a real he's a character, and he's smart, and he's kind of been on the forefront of a lot of the racial unrest. Nick Heath is a speedster outfielder who's stolen 60 bags the last 2 years, and I think if you're looking at having an extended roster and then having the rules where you can have an extra inning as a guy run on second base to start the inning, you got to look at a guy like Nick Heath as a guy who might be a weapon that possesses a tool in terms of his speed that nobody else on the roster really possesses. So I think he'd be a guy that maybe in a 26-man roster would maybe fall short, but I think in a 30 has a good chance of making it. And I think Royals fans, as they see Nick Heath over time, I mean, he's very likable. He's very personable. He just reminds me a lot of the energy of those 2014-15 teams and carrying that. He just plays in a fun way. I was watching him today take BP and just having a lot of fun out there, and you could just feel it, honestly. And so I think he'd be a guy in terms of maybe surprise or under the radar a little bit. But I don't think those young pitchers will break camp. I think they're going to take it slow because there's no rush, and this year is this year, and they know that the years beyond do really matter for the franchise, truthfully.
Yeah, I think one of the neat things about this, if there is any neat things about this situation, is these guys get to come to the Royal Stadium and, you know, go to that clubhouse and take batting practice on that field. It's a big enough deal when they get to go from the awful minor league clubhouse in Surprise and be in the big one, and like they don't want to go back the other side of the building, and now they get to be here. That's kind of a fun thing, so at least they get a little peek of that. We'll see where that leads for those guys. All right, Alec Lewis from The Athletic is our guest. It's time for the Kansas Lottery Final Four. All right, you're a proud Missouri Tiger. They got the word today that the baseball and softball probations are already going to be filled. That's good news for the Missouri Tigers because they didn't have to, you know, not get invited because everything was strucken down. Strucken? I sound like Shane for a second. Now Shane's going to be all mad.
Struck
down.
It's struck.
I hope Shane's not listening. He's probably not. He'd be so mad at me. But assuming there's football, which is, since you're from Alabama, I know football is king for you down there, is Missouri football, if they play this season, going to make a bowl game, yes or no?
I would say yes, and that might be somewhat bold, but I was talking to a buddy from school the other day, and he was like, what do you think about Drinkwitz? And obviously, I cover the Royals on a day-to-day, and when you cover sport, and you're pretty wrapped in it, but I've kind of watched Drinkwitz from afar just because
You've had some time, too. There hasn't been a baseball game.
Good point. That is also a good point. I've watched Drinkwitz. I've been impressed. So I think I'd say yes, they make a bowl. It might be a little bold. I'd probably be more optimistic that, as bad as this is to say, I'd be more optimistic that college football as a whole doesn't happen than Missouri would make a bowl, if that makes sense.
Yeah. All right. How about this one? Is baseball going to happen? I mean, the Royals are supposed to play in Cleveland on the 24th. Is that game going to happen? I'm not going to ask if there's going to be a World Series. Are they at least going to get to that point where a game happens?
I think so. I mean, I think so. I'm optimistic as a person in general, and so I think that probably makes me lean this way. But I think so, Todd. I think this little hiccup with testing might actually kind of make Major League Baseball realize how serious and quick and proactive they need to be. I mean, you would hope at least. So I think it happens to start at least, and I think the Royals will be in Cleveland July 24th.
Now, you're a rising star in the journalism field. We know that. You're a little bit like Patrick Mahomes, I would say. Straight out of college, big-time gig at The Athletic. So I don't know what they pay at The Athletic. I think it's less than what Mahomes is getting in this new deal, I think. But you don't have to answer that. But if you did have Mahomes' deal, what's the first thing you'd go buy?
Oh my goodness, that is a good Final Four. I think I would purchase a house for my parents because that's what everyone does, right?
That's
right. I feel like that's, I mean, you like you have to do that kind of. It's kind of, but I think I always tell people how appreciative I am of the the opportunities they allowed me to pursue when I was young to get emotional here, and so I would thank them by way of house and whatever type of furniture they wanted. You throw that on the $503 million potential, I think we'd be good.
How long would it take the University of Missouri Journalism School to come at you to try to get some money? They get the wind of that. Oh, Alec Lewis got $500 million. They have a phone call just real quick. You need to make a donation back to school.
I think 2 seconds, and I would have an email box full, because the journalism school does a good job. They do a good job of working their alumni. I can tell you that. They're asking me, and here I am without a Patrick Mahomes contract, I promise you.
You'd be avoiding all calls from the 573. No, I'm not taking those calls. All right, the last one.
I mean, I like – for sure. I'm avoiding until the contract happens, no doubt.
Okay, so Siren's always asking people what they're watching, you know, during the COVID times. Did you catch up on anything? Did you watch something in the streaming that you hadn't seen before?
I really, to be honest with you, have done a lot more. My dad was asking me this the other day. I'm like, I've been reading.
Alec Lewis is reading books.
I know it's funny though. Like even my girlfriend will make fun. She's like, "Really, you want to read?" I'm like, "Hell, I mean, I'm a writer. Like, shouldn't I read? This is what we're supposed to do, right?" So reading has been kind of my thing during this, and it's honestly getting through a book is tough. It is a challenge and a half. So I'm glad I've challenged myself during this time. Don't you think?
I actually started reading a book not long ago, too, so I'm getting back in reading. I have been a third of the way through a book. So thank you very much, Alec. I'm going to get out there at some point. I'll see you at batting practice one of these days when I don't have to fill in, okay?
Sounds good. I'll let you know when the PFPs are.
Oh, the PFPs. I'll see you on a Zoom tomorrow morning. How about that?
Sounds good. If I'm awake, we will do that. But no, thanks, Todd.
All right.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy. That's Alec Lewis from The Athletic. He's out there on the Zooms and watching PFP with the Royals.
The program with Siren Petro.
Even in those old-time photos of people gathered around the radio, they're always looking at the radio like, I can't wait till they invent the TV.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
Welcome back. And as we wrap it up here on this crazy Monday, Patrick Mahomes, 10-year deal, $503 million, $477 million in guaranteed, what are they called?
Guarantee mechanisms.
Mechanisms. Get me one of them mechanisms. Give me a $477 million mechanism. Sounds like something you need for NASA.
It does.
To go do something like that.
That is awesome.
It's awesome.
Awesome. Royals open on the road, 24th in Cleveland. Their home opener, not like you can go, but it's going to be July 31st against the White Sox. Their first off day, 17 games into the schedule. So that's the deal. They will end at home. You know, the Cubs could be here later, and the Cardinals late. So maybe there'll be fans there then. I don't know.
Close it with 7 at home, including 3 against the Cardinals.
We'll see. Sporting KC are down there in Florida, ready to rock and roll. No positive tests for them. Not so much for FC Dallas. They are not going to play in this tournament.
Audi.
We've got NFL Live KC coming up tonight. More stuff there. Nate Bucchetti's hosting that. He tells me Stephen St. John is going to be on this show. Stephen St. John is going to be
awesome.
On this show. That's awesome. Almost entirely sports. If Joshua Briscoe is alive, his heart may have exploded.
He's
his head may have exploded.
The floor of his apartment.
He's canceled his haircut because Mahomes got a contract. It's all there. Thanks for listening. I'll be back here tomorrow. Petro gets another day off.